Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This is technically, we are now Minority Corner 101.
We are!
It's a class.
We're an introductory class of Minority Corner.
You know what? I think that is a great way to really to brand us.
Mm-hmm.
Intro level.
Yes.
And also for those of you who are like, it's my senior year. I kind of know this stuff, but I'm interested in it and it keeps me footloose and fancy.
Yeah, just dabble in it. See who the young, fresh meat are that are new on campus.
Exactly. And then here you are. So welcome to Minority Corner 101.
We did it.
And I want to sing a song for you. And
oh, I'm ready for a song. I'm listening.
Hey, little mama, why you dress so funky? Do you remember that song?
No.
Okay.
Who was that?
Someone Google. It was a song. It was called, we'll look it up during the break.
Why you so funky?
Why you dress so funky?
Oh, okay.
You never heard that?
Mm-mm.
I think it was like by like the ABC Kids.
Who
I think,
the fuck wasn't is that? There a group? What is that?
Okay, hold on. All right, turn your, correct your gaze.
Who am I? Where have I been? Was I like, is this like a thing because like between the 2 years of our age difference that something cool
no.
happened and I missed that?
Because this is, I know this because my brother, who's 5 years older than me, said anything, you should be, if I know it, you should know it.
I guess. I know.
Because ABC, because remember back in the day, mm-hmm. it was Boys to Men.
ABC.
Wait.
BBD.
The East Coast Family.
Yes.
Never skip the B. So, why little mama, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, you don't know. So, don't correct me. Because you don't know.
Maybe I do because I know that song. That was Motown Philly by
Boys to Men. ABC, BBD.
Yes.
The East Coast Family.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure remember ABC?
Yes.
They were like these like group of like seven kids. And I'm pretty sure they had a song called Hey Little Mama.
I just
remember. Why you dress a monkey? Hey little mama, why just a monkey?
I don't know.
Smack
that
it like
song,
a monkey.
Though.
Shake it to the left, shake it to the right, shake, 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 shake. That was the whole jam. Yeah.
I thought that ABC did Aisha. Aisha.
Aisha. You're the girl I never wanted. And do not wanna teach you there.
So was Why You Dress So Funky, was that a B-side?
I think it was.
Oh.
And I felt so bad for every girl who was named Aisha. At that point, because everybody always saying Aisha.
I bet they still do. Because I mean,
oh,
what else
still
is
do.
Aisha? I guess Aisha Tyler
and Aisha from the Power Rangers. She was the second black girl Power Rangers.
I guess Aisha is just a black girl name, isn't it?
It's there. Some writer for the Power Rangers was like, and then that song came on. They're like, oh, I know what to name her, Aisha.
Duh. It's a pretty name. It's a very pretty
it
name.
A gorgeous name, darling. Mm-hmm. It is gorgeous. ABC was probably like, if it was like a reality TV show for
right.
like, here's like the new three black R&B pop boy bands.
Mm.
ABC fell off first.
Well, it was all from Michael Bivins. So Michael Bivins was from Belle Biv DeVoe, and he managed Boys to Men, and I think he also managed
ABC.
And originally, he's from New Edition.
Right, no, exactly.
Okay, good.
So
I'm
really
winning this back slowly.
And so really, that song Motown Philly was really just a commercial for the new the new groups. Because that's how you learned about them all.
You just got to listen to the beginnings of all of these songs from the 90s to know who's coming out next.
Oh, who? Coming up next. BBD and ABC, the East Coast Family.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Do you know notice anything different about me right now?
You are, through the magic of the interwebs, we're looking through Skype-ish. It's not quite Skype.
Nope, it's Google Hangout.
You are wearing a nice button-down shirt. You never wear a button-down shirt.
Okay, all right. I'll just jump right in here. I'm just going to jump in here. You're just saying what you see, which I love. Which
it's a nice button-down shirt.
Do
Did you get a haircut? Your hair looks the same.
No,
okay.
I was going to say, like, I have a Tara Reid party girl voice.
Oh, because you spent a weekend in the land of sin.
You know what? They don't call it that for nothing. No. And here's all I'm not going to go into money details because I am not on trial here.
No,
and
you are not.
I get why they say, thank you for having my back. I get why they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. At first I was like, that is so dumb. Who was doing that much stuff?
Who warned you? Man. Who had a nice little text conversation with you and you're like, oh, I'm just going to have a fun little, you know, a little romp, just a little trip down.
That's what I
thought.
I'm going
to get some work done. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah, I had plans to shoot a little short film while I was there with my buddies.
No.
There was never any time.
No,
because there was not a lot of sleep that was had.
No.
There was a lot of things consumed.
Yes.
And it just, you know what? I was doing so fine. It was like the last like 2 or 3 hours of the last night, Sunday night.
Yeah.
And just lost my damn mind.
Things happen. Just I told lost. You. Like I said in the text message, just like the rhythm, Vegas is going to get you.
She died.
Vegas,
you know what? It
gets your ass.
And it was also Vegas Pride. So we went there for my friends and I. We do our annual gay boys trip.
Yes.
And this year it was a fraction of the fellowship diverged.
Because
most of the group went to Palm Springs again, but my friend and I were like, we already did that last year.
Yeah.
So we then created our own sort of splinter off, our own spin-off series.
Okay, I love that. A little, we went different world. You're different worlding it.
We were a little different worlding it. We went there. We went for Vegas Pride, and we were going to see Britney because Britney was going to close her show.
Which is what you've been wanting to do for years.
For 3 years, I've only seen her once when she did this free concert for Good Morning America, and it was okay. But she was not on her peak condition.
You did not like that show that much.
She was, you know, still on a lot of meds. Choreography was still kind of new. But I was like, I'm going to go see her in Vegas, see her at her home base,
yes,
where she's been killing it. And the Pride Parade was also, I met one of our listeners.
Dan C. I saw that post on the Facebook page. That was amazing. So how did you guys end up meeting? Did he recognize you? What happened?
Yeah. I was just walking.
Look at your face.
And the nighttime parade. I will say this. It was probably my favorite Vegas Pride Parade. It's very simple.
Okay.
It's very quaint. It's very cute.
Did you say nighttime parade?
Yeah.
What?
So for one, Vegas does their parade at night because, one, it's too hot during the day.
Smart, yeah.
And that's also why they don't do Pride in, like, June or earlier in the summer because it's just too damn hot.
It's that desert conditions.
So it is later. And it's really cute because, like, all the floats have, like, it's, like, nighttime club time.
Ooh!
It's like, and there's, like, lights and shit happening.
Is it like the electric light parade from Disneyland?
It's, yes.
Of just, like, dicks.
But more with EDM.
Yes.
More dicks.
Yes, I love it.
What I love, too, though, is, like, Vegas, it's, like, it's got this small town sort of feel to it. So it felt like, you know, like on TV when they're shooting a parade and there's not a lot of people there, but they try to fill it in and make it look like there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, like they're like, crowd into this corner.
So what it was nice, because it was like a lot of times the parades are so overwhelming and the New York Pride and San Francisco Pride is so many people.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This was nice. It was a lot smaller down.
I love that.
And I guess like Vegas has so many gay events over the summer that when their actual Pride rolls around,
people are like, I'm tired.
Yes, that is exactly it. That is exactly it. So Dan C was, I was walking and I'd seen him, like him and his group, they were walked down the parade. I saw them. Mm-hmm. But then he was like, hey, are you James from Minority Corner? I was like, well, yes, I am.
Did you feel like extra damn special at that moment?
I was kind of just like bewildered. I'm like, but what? Because I wasn't like I was talking and someone recognized my voice.
Yeah,
you know? And I guess
it was just your face.
It was just my face. It's just my face. So yeah, and then we hung out with Dan C and my friends. They finally rolled in. They got into Vegas hella late on a Friday night. Mm.
But, were you by yourself?
Yeah, I was just living my best. Hey, I travel the world.
I know,
honey.
You do a good
solo trip.
I know, you do.
And so then I went with Dan C and his friends to a bar and we hung out there. And
That's fun.
I had a good time. And then the next day we went to this show called Diva is a friend of mine. Mm. It's like this drag show. It's long-running drag show,
yes,
which I highly recommend. Really great. A lot of female impersonators. What I love is that they're not really drag queens because they all go by like their actual names.
Oh.
They'll be like Mr. Luke Evans.
Isn't that an actor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Larry Evans.
Okay.
It was Larry Evans. Was the friend of ours who got us free tickets. Because a friend of a friend was like, I can get you free tickets to the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
We sat front row.
Yes.
And the guy who does it, I think his name is Dan Marino. He is
Isn't that
this
an
long.
Actor?
Is this Jeopardy?
I don't know.
Dan Marino.
Is he a football player? You're thinking,
yeah, maybe. Yeah. Who, it's something Marino. Okay. I'm pretty sure. And he's like famous or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen his giant ass poster and it's like huge on like walls. Yes. Like the longest, like.
It's like the longest running show on the strip, I think.
Right.
Because he used to do, his whole entire shtick was that he was a Joan Rivers impersonator.
Oh.
And Aneke, before his show, you're watching the show and you're like, I don't know who he is, but I'm here to see like the Tina Turner and the Liza Minnelli, the Madonna. Cher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But before the show, they literally pay like a 10-minute Dan, whoever this guy is. This Joan Rivers impersonator guy. Pretty sure his last name's Marino.
Okay.
They play like this, all these clips of him, like throughout the ages, and him and Joan Rivers.
Yes.
And Joan Rivers was going to sue him.
Oh.
But then they were friends.
Okay.
And then they were friends because she was like, I love it. Like, you know, and like.
Wow.
And then recently he's been like on every reality TV show he can get his little hands on or his little face into. And so then by the end of this like 10-minute thing,
you're
like,
I'm ready.
Yeah, you feel like you're meeting a famous person. You're like, woo, this guy is great.
That's smart. Oh, I need to do that every time I have a class discussion where it's just like clips of me going into other classes and being like, here she is talking about citations. Here she is talking about research method. There she is with the mayor. I don't know.
Yeah. And then they'll just like fucking wig the fuck out because you're, oh my God, this Aneke, of course. Oh yeah, Aneke. Aneke Fitzclaw, of course. Oh my God, I love her. And then, you know, it's so funny because like going to Vegas, I wanted to see like, we weren't going to go to No Thunder if I'm Down Under, but what I love about Vegas shows, they will show you half naked men's no matter what.
Oh yeah.
Like if you're, there was like, I saw beautiful men's asses and
everywhere.
The men were like, the Madonna dancers were wearing barely just any butts. Clothes. It was just great. Yes. Yeah, just a lot of butts. And you realize what a small dance world it is because some of those same dancers we saw that night go dancing at the gay club Piranha.
Oh.
Yeah. And in fact, two of them that we were flirting with after the show, they were like, oh, we've got to go to our other show. We're dancing the Michael Jackson show after this.
It is like, community. I mean, did I ever tell you about my time that I went down to Vegas like years and years ago for a bachelorette? And we went to Men of X, which was like this budget male review show in the Hooters Hotel in like a conference room, like legit sitting on conference seats. And they like danced around us and like with glitter and stuff. And then one of them fell in love with one of the girls in the group that I was with. And so he was like, I got friends that work at American Storm, which is like the American version of Thunder Down Under, and got us in for free. And then like told us like how they're all like friends and they all know each other. And it's like 50.
Half of them are gay.
Yeah, 50%. We asked, we're like, so what's the percentage? He's like, 50% are gay, 50% are straight. He was like, right. But the main thing is everybody wants to do Chippendales and we're all working towards that. I don't know if it's different now, but that was like 7 years ago.
Because I think they have the Magic Mike show down there or something.
Yes, yeah. Channing Tatum set that up.
I auditioned and didn't get in, but whatever.
You know what? That is their loss. You didn't. Didn't wear the ripaway pants I made you. I crocheted for you.
You did. It was too hot and sweaty. When I first got there, I got lunch with a friend of mine who from the cruise ship who he dances for the Donnie and Marie show.
Those fools and apparently, have a show.
Yes.
How old are they?
It still is. Oh, old. And guess what? You want to know some gossip? Marie is like, I am done.
Oh, no.
She is like, she's just collecting that paycheck because Donnie still wants to do the goddamn show. And she is just like, all right, which one of you can make me laugh on stage? Go.
Can you even
and
she's imagine? Like,
and you know what she said? She's like, I don't want to go out like Debbie Reynolds. I don't want to go out working my ass off.
Then she needs
tired.
To quit.
She's trying to find the right moment.
Donnie
she's trying
needs to, find to that right let moment. Up. He's like, no, sister. We are still
you go keep doing this.
Can you imagine if like your brother made you keep doing a show for like 40 to 50 years?
Oh, my God. You're just like, can I please stop?
I know.
But he was giving me all the insights about all the different shows.
That's amazing.
All these like different kind of things. And one thing too is like my friends diverged between Palm Springs and Vegas because I'd never been. It's my first time going to Vegas since I was like 19. Mm-hmm. And Vegas is like, here's the thing that I like would like to educate some folks on. Vegas is not really a gay place.
No. It's like
not a lot. Like our places are. We had a club on the strip, but that got closed down.
It's
like,
very much a heterocentric area. Yeah,
Yeah. 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 And we found our own fun, and we went to I did get to a pool party, and we found we made some friends with the other gays that were there and formed a massive, a bigger group that was there.
That's so crazy. Even during Pride.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that no one shows up for Pride. They go to they had the matinee pool parties earlier on the year, which are these huge, huge gay pool parties that they throw earlier. So people were just already done it.
Yeah.
Did go to a straight club. We went to Hakkasan.
Oh, I've been to Hakkasan.
Mess.
Yeah.
And I made me realize, ladies, I am so sorry for all the shit that you have to deal with. Straight guys are not all. But because we were with these two straight girls, and I was literally it was four of us gays surrounding our two ladies, just let them dance free and be their own selves without some bullshitty met late and the heels you all have to walk around and run it and walk in.
Fuck that. Right. I'm too old for that shit.
They wouldn't let my friend in with his tennis shoes. And so we had to go run. We were going to go run and go buy him some new shoes at the Ross, which he's like, that's the secret to Vegas. There's a Ross right there if you need
something. That's true. And actually, I had friends that did that too.
See? And we thought we were going to get in, but they had just, it was 12:39. We thought we were going to get to the Ross to get the shoes.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, and we said, for whatever reason, we're like, we know what we'll do. We'll sing him Spice Girls, some panhandlers.
I know. So Did somebody have a tambourine? What the hell was going on?
And we all just started, if you want to be my lover, gotta get with my friend. Hitting the harmonies and shit that.
This is this mess and that then, you keep in Vegas. Everybody thinks it's disgusting and shameful. No, it's people panhandling to get into the club singing Spice Girls. We
get some shoes. And then the guy was like, well, let me get my manager. And so then the manager's coming down. We're like, oh, okay, good. We just got to do the number one more time.
You guys do the whole thing. Look alive, guys.
Yeah. And she was like, no. Thanks. And we kept singing it. He had to go back and go get his own shoes. That is the extent to the stories that I'll be telling, because I am not on trial here.
You are not.
In Vegas, we'll be staying there.
I mean, I said, you're alive. No one's dead. And you don't owe a crazy amount of money. So you're good.
I thought that those are the exact, it's funny, when you sent me that text, I'm like, Aneke's done this before, because those were the same things that were on my list. I was like, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't do any heroin or crack or anything like that. I did not have to try to do sexual favors for anything. I have a good amount of money still left.
So there you go.
And my health this year.
You made it home.
So it's like, you know, those are the same things. I was like, oh, Aneke's done this before. So.
Oh, yeah. I think I have probably one more trip of Vegas left within my soul. And I need to do it within the next 5 years before it expires. And then after that, I might have to retire Vegas, because I've done it a bunch. And each time is a new adventure for my conscience.
Actually, this is what I'm doing now. This is how crazy my Vegas weekend is. I'm super sober Sally for the next 30 days for sure.
30? And shit.
In 30 days, I will revisit if I'm going to allow beer and alcohol back into my life. But that's the extent that I will let back in for the rest of this year. So that's what my Vegas, that's where I am.
You're on a 30-day detox after a weekend. And even then, just checking in,
and the only things I will let back in are maybe beer and wine. The only things I will maybe let back in are beer and wine for the rest of the year.
You know what, James?
For the rest of the year. And then we'll see where we are there.
I'm doing this for you.
That's what Vegas did to me.
This is for you. You did Vegas well.
It's a lot. I mean, I kind of want to cry just a little bit. So I'm going to go have a cry.
Yeah, we'll take
and we'll be back.
We'll take a quick break.
Take a little breather and figure out who was the singer behind Hey Little Mama.
Hey Little Mama.
Hey, little mama, why you so funky? Why you dress so funky?
So we figured it out.
We did.
It is the puppies, and it's funky YC.
Y2C, yeah, so if you want to get in the fun. And it's a cute little music video. And it is this is back in the day where there were all these little kid groups coming onto the scene. And I remember me and the kids in my apartment complex, we were like, we can create a little group. We can do it. Move over another bad creation, aka Aisha, ABC, which Aneke just figured out.
Because it was
out.
The next up on the list on YouTube.
Oh, is it? It is if you the puppies, ABC. You'll like ABC. I wonder where those kids are now.
Just old now.
The puppies? Damn. Okay, I went. That's my next. My next corner. I'm just gonna do an expose of where are they now. The puppies.
I'm into that. Each one. Because I don't even know who's in the puppies from that video. It just seemed like a bunch of kids yelling at me from the schoolyard.
Funny thing is, you could have met one of them. They could have been one of those guys in that conference room giving you a lap dance. Still trying to make, it to Chippendales, which would be so sad. They're not even like
they're still making money.
Okay. Yeah, but they're like, you know, not, they're still trying to work their way up to Chippendales. They're still offbeat, Men of X strip dance Men of X.
Well, shall we get to my corner?
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready for it.
I wanted to kick off this new 100 episodes of us on Minority Corner with a little thing that you and I both love and cherish, television.
Ooh, it is fall. It is fall.
And so and of course, another thing that you and I love, people of color.
I love me some people of color. And in fact, this is so great, Aneke. I don't want to jump the gun, but if you were going to tell me where the POCs are going to be at, you are going to save me hours of time. Because I got a rule. And you know what my rule is. If it's just a bunch of white people on TV, I can't you. Do it.
That's
I don't
why
have the time.
I am here to help you.
Unless your show is like really, really good, I can't.
No, I'm here to help you. I got here options. To tell you. So thank I you. Went over because I was wondering. I was like, who's coming down the pipeline? Like, what are we looking at?
Who?
Where are the people of color on television? What's going to be happening? So I went onto The Hollywood Reporter. I clicked on their TV development news to see what is being developed currently. And I found a whole bunch of white people.
Oh, okay. Damn, I thought we were doing so good. I thought 2017.
We are. We're getting there. But you know what?
Because I feel like the new thing is like, they're like, for a while, they're like, because after Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder was doing so good, they're like, and then Empire, they're like, throw a black woman in there. People love
it's
black
true.
Women.
Now we've moved on to immigration, which is interesting, but we'll get into it. Between all of the showrunners and shows about white people, there are a few notable shows that I'm going to be breaking down for you guys to look forward to.
Okay.
So the first one I'm going to get into, it is a show that is actually, it's unnamed. And do you remember Get Out?
Yeah.
Do you remember his friend? Little Ray Howery.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He was also
funny.
Insecure, the latest season of Insecure. And I think he was on the Carmichael show with Gerard Carmichael, who was a comedian. It just got canceled. But
heard it was really good.
I haven't watched
it. You know, no, I can't watch everything.
Could we even do this podcast if we were watching everything?
Yeah, I mean, we still got to do some stuff. I do Blackish as much as I can. And,
I'm caught up on Blackish. Okay, So Lil Ray Howery is set to headline on a multi-camera comedy for Fox, executive produced by his former co-star Gerard Carmichael. So they're working together. The Untitled Project, which has received a pilot commitment, centers on Lil Ray, a prideful, self-made success who lives by the code of always believe in yourself and great things will come. However, he finds that attitude is put to the test when he learns that his wife is having an affair with his barber.
Whoa. I know. That took a turn. I thought, because that first half already seemed like enough of a premise.
We
and then
it
was like, nope, it's 2017. You've got to have a twist. That is just not enough to get these eyes onto the screen.
It's so true. So the show is basically going to be about him trying to rebuild his life post-divorce as a long-distance single father on the west side of Chicago on a quest for love, respect, and a new barber.
Whoa. You know what? I love that. I think it is specifically set in Chicago for a reason.
Why do you say that?
I just feel like Chicago is a hotbed for a lot of conversations around race, gun violence. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's possibly purposeful. So unlike shows like you think about in the 90s, like Martin was set in Detroit, but they didn't really talk about anything that was going down in Detroit.
I don't even know where it was set. I mean, also Hanging with Mr. Cooper was set in Oakland and nobody gave a shit that it was in Oakland.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's because they're like, where are these comedians from? We'll set it there.
Yeah.
But not like really. Mm-hmm. Like, what did Hanging with Cooper ever really do that was like very like Oakland?
Nothing.
You didn't go to no First Friday?
No, well, that wasn't around then.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
He did.
You'll get a pass for now. He played for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's right, because then he became a coach. Got it.
Yeah. Like, he had injured himself.
Right.
Same, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
And do you remember how, sorry to tangent, but remember In the House, which was In the House, LL Cool J?
Yeah!
He played Mm-hmm. He was on the Los Angeles Raiders.
Dated.
Dated. Soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. But.
All right. So look out for that show that's going to be on Fox. So they have they've received a request for a pilot. So hopefully it gets picked up. Keep your fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. He deserves that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, Jane the Virgin, Gina Rodriguez. Ooh. Love her.
I've heard nothing but great things about the show. I've not watched it, but I've heard great things.
It's good.
But it's like 22 episodes a season, right?
It's a lot of episodes to catch up on.
I can't.
I did it. I can't. When you're sick, listen, when you're sick and you are like, I'm tired and I need something peaceful and wonderful to watch, watch Jane the Virgin. It's very delightful. It's like a telenovela. So it's like super dramatic, but silly. There's a love triangle. Ooh. There's a baby. Ooh. And Gina Rodriguez, at first, I'm going to be a little shady and say like, I don't get it. But she is a charming ass woman.
Really?
She's so charming. She is.
Yeah, because it reminds me of all the things I used to love about Ugly Betty, which was one of my favorite shows ever. Mm-hmm. It got canceled way before its prime. Vanessa Williams was hilarious on Ugly Betty. So great.
It's very much like, it's like that, but more tongue-in-cheek even.
Even more tongue-in-cheek than Ugly Betty?
Because they have
there were so many tongues and cheeks slapping around on that show.
Because on Jane the Virgin, they have a narrator. And the narrator will chime in. He'll be like, I don't know if I believe this. And
that sounds like so much fun.
I know, it's fun.
You added a fun narrator, and that just ops up the silliness. See? That just makes, okay.
Yeah.
I see. You're selling me on this, because I almost watched Riverdale on one of my flights, but I was like, that's a million episodes. Riverdale's only 13 episodes per season.
I watch Riverdale. That's delightful, too. Not as delightful. It's a little dark, a little campy. Yeah. Jane the Virgin is light and campy. So both of them, I say watch it.
Well, it's also why I had to get rid of Arrow and I got overwhelmed, and now I also work at Marvel.
Yeah.
And I work at Marvel now, so I'm like, bye.
Pick and choose your battles. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, DC. Okay, so
bye.
Gina Rodriguez has set up two dramas, one about a doctor who immigrates to Miami and has to work as a nurse's assistant, and then the other, so she's producing these two shows, and another about an all-American teen who discovers he's not American. The CW's illegal. So the first one, the doctor who immigrates to Miami that has to work as a nurse's assistant, that's CBS, Have Mercy. And then I love this all-American teen who discovers he's not American. It's going to be on the CW and it's called Illegal.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So she's producing
that's interesting.
Shows. Yeah.
And see, I love that. Like, and you know what? See, her show got all this critical acclaim. So then she was able, like, she's got like a seat at the table now.
Yes.
She's doing something. She's doing something with
it. She's hella doing something with it. And I love it.
I don't feel like those girls back when 90210 was happening, that they were doing anything with their seats at the table.
I don't think they are even to this day, but you know.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. They're looking for the table.
I know. Okay. So.
No, Jenny Garth, she knows what
she's
the table
doing.
Is
what she's doing. She's
just you know, not invited.
This is, we're just burning bridges left and right. All right. So.
101. It's a new set of feuds, ladies and gentlemen. 90210,
we're coming for your asses.
We're coming after you. Looking at you, Tori Spelling. Donna Martin does not graduate.
Okay, so the next one, they're doing a reboot of Party of Five. Do you remember Party of Five?
No! Why?
No, but listen.
Are they black?
First generation Latino family who has immigrated to the U.S. and are living through the highs and lows as they learn to make it in a new country.
Ooh, I am here for this.
See, the fate of the family's parents is being kept under wraps.
Because in Party of Five, the parents were all dead.
Yes, there's no parents.
There's no parents. So they were the only Party of Five, which is like a weird title. I don't get it.
I guess it's like when you go out to eat, you're like Party of Five. But yeah,
but my parents are dead. So that's weird.
People fucking love that show too. I never watched it. I never watched it.
And that show is the reason why Neve Campbell beat out Alicia Silverstone in The Craft.
Because of Party of Five?
Because at that time, Neve Campbell was more of a name than Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, interesting.
Because Alicia Silverstone hadn't quite done Clueless yet. So
she was just in Aerosmith videos.
Yep, that was it. Just running around, flipping people off, bungee cord jumping.
So that's basically, I didn't see what channel that's going to be on. I'm guessing Party of Five was on Fox, so it might be back on Fox again because they probably still have the the rights to
or CW, because when they revamped 90210, it ended up on the CW.
You're right.
And I think when they did Melrose Place.
Yes, so maybe could be. CW. Keep an eye out. Party of Five reboot as a first generation Latino family.
Smart move.
Right? I like
because
like
that makes
twist.
It more interesting. Mm-hmm. That makes it more interesting. Because they kind of did that with the new 90210 reboot. They had there was a brother and sister moving from a different town, but one of the brothers was at least he was black.
What?
Sure. They had adopted him or something, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so moving on. So Jordan Peele, he is set to executive produce a drama called The Hunt. It's a 1970s set Nazi hunter drama. So let's see. David Wheel is on board to pen the script and executive produce alongside Peele. No network is attached yet. So the story is inspired by true events. The Hunt follows a diverse band of Nazi hunters in the 1970s America as they set out on a quest for revenge and justice, tracking and killing hundreds of Nazis who, with the unconscionable help of the U.S. government, escape justice and embed themselves in American society.
Wow.
That sounds
this
neat.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
What network is possibly having this?
It says it's not attached to a network yet.
Oh, he's just producing this series and seeing
it's coming.
And shop it around.
Somebody's
it
gonna pick it up. I mean, who's not gonna pick it up? Jordan Peele is really hot right now, so this is
he's at the hot of his game. Mm-hmm. And like he does like those sort of things that are so subversive and intricate in the way that he writes. That's one thing that makes Get Out so appealing is like what horror can really do is it kind of almost goes like it's like turning something inside out. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like getting into like the meat of something and like digging around in
I
there.
Love it.
And that's what makes it terrifying, because like the things that it's connecting to are connected to real life, real horrors, you know?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, Nazis in the 1970s that are hiding, that's a pretty real horror. So next up, this one's quick. There's going to be a show called Welcome to Maine. It's a multi-camera show about a ninth generation Maine family and a recent immigrant and his daughter who all must learn to embrace change when they share the same workplace in a small rural town.
Wow.
It's okay. Okay.
I mean, that sounds a little too kumbaya to
me. It does. You know,
like
maybe we need another seventh heaven. Maybe.
maybe that says what the world needs, I guess, a little bit.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So this one is coming from, it's a single camera comedy produced by the Big Sick director, Michael Showalter, and also Fresh Off the Boat's creator, Natasha Khan. I know I'm saying her name wrong, but she is the creator of Fresh Off the Boat, which is an excellent show.
Yeah, love that show.
So this show is called Revival. It's a fresh take on a recent reboot trend on TV. So the half an hour centers on Elliot. So Elliot is a formerly the little kid of a beloved 80s family sitcom and is now living a normal life. But then he reluctantly gets sucked back into the show's revival in his old TV family.
This sounds amazing because it's commenting on all the revivals
reboots.
That are happening right now.
I know.
And I feel, I mean, there's so many revivals that are happening. Will and Grace, Full House.
Like we just said, Party of Five.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's some other ones that are like, they've already done it. Tune in on the Melrose Place. I'm still waiting for my Family Matters reboot.
Right.
I would tune in for that.
I know, me too.
I would tune in.
I think the guy died though, Carl.
Yeah. They could refigure that.
Yeah. Speaking of reboots, but here's another one coming.
This sounds dope. Oh, is there another one? What's the next
reboot.
One?
Okay. So I'm bringing up Vin Diesel because I have to remind the
he's
public
sexy.
That he's a person of color.
Yeah, well, I never forgot.
People forget.
Y'all get out of here and wake up.
Okay,
Jeez.
So NBC, you ready for this?
Uh-oh. What are they reviving?
Miami
Vice. With Vin Diesel?
Yes. And
wow.
So he's working on it. This was his idea. And he's reteaming with the guy that he has been writing Fast and Furious with.
Ooh, this is going to be essentially Fast and the Furious, but on the smaller screen.
Mm-hmm, on NBC. So look out for that. Oh, yeah. There's Lethal Weapons on TV, too, speaking of revivals. So,
very true. You know. Yeah. Well, I mean, Vin Diesel, you know, he got to go make that money because The Rock is stealing all his money. You heard the drama about what happened. Did you?
But Vin Diesel doesn't give a fuck. It's Tyrese that gives a fuck. Tyrese is being a weirdo.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the Fast and the Furious movies, or they're supposed to be the next Fast and the Furious movie. I think it's the number 9. one. Yeah. Or is it 9 or 10?
Nine.
And it got bumped because The Rock and Jason Statham are going to do a spinoff movie.
Right.
And Tyrese was like, don't do the spinoff movie until we do the 9th
because
one.
Because Tyrese ain't making no money.
He's not making no money. And The Rock, like, it got bumped. And so the Fast and Furious movie got bumped. And so now the spinoff movie is going to happen in between. And Tyrese is not having it.
I know.
Though, you know what? You know what I love about the Fast and the Furious feuds?
What's that?
The Fast and the FFFs.
What is it?
The Fast
What's
and the Furious
on?
Feuds. I just love that it's like these men being catty no. as fuck, you know? And it just goes to show that, like, you know, they always want to put like, ooh, the ladies are fighting, no. the ladies are fighting. That series is full of these guys being so catty. Mm-hmm. So catty, in fact, in the last Fast and the Furious movie, mm-hmm. Vin Diesel and The Rock were not talking and they didn't do a single scene together
that
in the movie.
That is so stoops. That is stupid.
But they're fine. They're fine now. So the next one, they'll be okay.
Okay, so I've left off the last, but it's the best. You ready for the Ooh. Best right now? You're going to be so stoked on
yes.
this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be a show that is produced by J.J. Abrams.
I am here for this.
And it's going to be on Hulu. And it is going to be a dramedy, so drama comedy, titled Love Queen. That. The potential I series know. Is described as a fictionalized version of RuPaul's rise from club kid to drag queen, gay icon, and global star.
Whoa.
I'm excited.
That sounds way exciting. You know, I thought I heard on RuPaul's podcast murmurs about him working on a project that he couldn't talk about. And I wonder if this was
this
that project.
This has to be it. This has to be it. And it's going to be That's on what, Hulu. That means it's going to be like, it can be like no barriers, you know?
Yeah. And he was working with J.J. Abrams on that, which means like secrets.
Yeah.
Secrets and secrets.
So I feel like those that are two people so pairing up that I'm really excited about.
That is amazing. Oh, there's one show too that I have pared down so much of I have my TV watching these days, so yeah. I can't watch everything. But there is one show that I heard is really good and interesting, and The Mayor. Have you
oh,
heard about that
yeah.
show?
That's on, I want to say it's on ABC.
It is.
And it has Michelle on it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad to see her breaking away from working with Ryan Murphy and doing something a little different.
Yes.
And it also has the woman who was in Community.
Yes, it's not
Yvette Nicole Brown.
And it's about an upstart hip hop guy who becomes a mayor of a town.
Yes, what I love about that, when I saw the trailer of it, it's essentially like they've inverted modern day politics, but just like inverted it.
Yeah.
Because this guy was only running because he wanted to, like you said, like jumpstart his hip hop career.
Right.
And then he ended up winning. So very similar to like our current, you know, fucker in yeah. charge. Wanted a boost in, you know, his career and wasn't planning on winning and ended up winning. And so it's sort of like now this guy has, but in this case, it's a black kid.
Yeah.
And they really, they don't shy away from it. Like they, like the things that are going on in like the communities and things like that, like, and it's a possible platform for him to actually do some good, even though he has no idea what he's doing. And he's not qualified to be doing the position. So I thought it's an interesting twist and turn.
Yeah, it should be good. You know, I'm excited.
Modern day stuff, yeah. Wow, and okay, that was helpful, especially yeah. because we're losing a show this year.
What show are we losing? Oh, Scandal.
We lose Scandal this year.
I know.
We're done.
You know what? I'm ready.
When is it back? Is it back yet?
Yeah, it's back. I'm like two. What? It's like three episodes in.
What have I been doing?
I don't
no
even
one told
know.
Me.
How to Get Away with Murder is back. Scandal's back.
What?
Gray's back.
What is she
what
doing? Is
doing?
She okay?
Ooh,
what?
It's a mess.
I don't know.
The wigs are good.
Oh
though.
God.
The wigs.
Oh.
Are
the wigs are good. Oh, well, I am here for that. But you mm-hmm. know what? I'm in such a binge watcher. I'm probably going to don't spoil anything.
I'm not
for
saying
me
anything
until I'm just going to binge it in May when it comes out.
Oh,
on the Netflix.
I got to wait that long?
Yep. So don't you say anything. This is what happened last year with How to Get Away with Murder. And then I was trying to talk to Aneke about all these things that were happening. And Aneke was like, I saw that a long time ago. I don't remember.
Are you at least caught up now?
Oh, I've seen, yeah,
okay,
season
okay,
three.
Good.
I All finished right. up to season three.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
It got...
This season's weird. This season's interesting. Just...
You say...
You need...
Yeah?
It's taken, okay. It's taken a different direction, and I'm kind of into it, and I'm kind of not. I will say Jimmy Smith is in it, and I'm into it.
Ooh. Oh, hi.
I know.
My clothes just fell off a little bit. How did that happen? Like, that's how I felt when he popped up into Star Wars. I was like, oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh.
I know. Hello, a galaxy far, far away. Suddenly, he just got so sexy. Why is he just so sexy?
Because
he was in The Get Down and just being all sexy.
He has good swag. He knows how to do a good nose breathe. I feel like if somebody knows how to do a good nose breathe on camera, like a good, then that's like, That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? That show, that just upped the ante for me. This show. Yeah,
you gotta watch it.
I think that show needed him. Jimmy Smith being on How to Get a Murder? That is good.
He's doing a good job, too. He's pulling his weight.
They get good. They get good sleeper guest stars because they had Femke.
Oh yeah, Femke Jenkins. Yes.
She was amazing.
She's amazing.
She was great.
I know.
Yeah.
It's good. Mm. You know what? You need to just watch it.
Okay. All right. Wow. This is clearly almost like an offline conversation. Oh, hello, listeners. Are you there too?
Oh my God. We're recording? We just Linda tripped ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. And I can thank you so much for all these great shows that are coming down the pipeline.
You're so welcome.
Especially because you just never know which shows are for us that we can tune in that we want to support.
Yeah. Just giving us a little bit of something to look forward to.
Because I am not here for all this Bang Bang Theory or whatnot, which is, we'll circle back on that another week, but it's subtle misogynistic undertones all throughout that show. But we'll get back to that.
All right.
Well, Aneke, thank you so much for that. And speaking of, we're going to stay in the land of television
today.
TV
week.
TV week. We're staying in entertainment. And Aneke, I'm going to need your help because I'm with our powers combined. Yes. We're going to side eye one of my heroes.
I saw that. Ooh, let's do
Time to side-eye Joss Whedon.
Oh my God, this is going to be traumatic. Joss Whedon.
Side-eye your heroes. Side-eye your heroes. He was a hero. Zero, zero. He is a zero. Zero, zero. He was a feminist.
Oh, here we go.
And now he's not.
Oh my God.
Joss Whedon. No, he's not. Joss Whedon.
No.
He ain't a feminist. Who put the feminist in that word?
Wow.
Joss Whedon.
And strong. Okay, so just for a little background knowledge, what I know about from James and Joss Whedon is James is a longtime fan of Buffy.
Yes.
And did you like Firefly?
Yes.
You also like, what did he do? He did Guardians? No, he didn't do Guardians. Did he do Guardians? No, that's James Gunn.
He did the Avengers.
Right.
He did the Avengers movie. He also did, Buffy had a spinoff called Angel. Yeah. So like you said, mm-hmm. Firefly, Serenity, Dr. Horrible, Sing Along. I was a part of, Joss Whedon has effectively created what is called the Whedonverse.
You were.
So into it. If there are things that I am a part of, it is the Britney Army and the Whedonverse. At least I was, but maybe
for
both of those, I might not be anymore. You know, I'm always a part of the Rhythm Nation, but even then, we'll talk about that later. I didn't even tell you about that Britney Spears concert. If you go to the concert, sidebar real quick, if you go to the Britney Spears concert, get tickets further up or sit in the pit. She does not have cameras that are going to be pointing at her face if you're sitting in. It's not a big theater, but for me, it's if I can't, the reason why I love the Divas drag show that we went to, I front row, I could see the eye contact. I could see when the dancers were doing fun little bits
but
with each other and stuff
Britney.
Like that, you know? And I missed all of that with, she just did her, set. Talked to us two times and she just, seemed somewhat live, but
underwhelmed.
I was a little disenchanted, I guess. I really was. I know. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Joss Whedon.
Anyways, back to somebody. Yes. Oh God. So the reason why I want to bring this up is because there's an entire conversation right now that is happening. Of men being allies and feminism and shutting down male patriarchy. And I've been sitting on this because I heard about this a few weeks ago and I wasn't ready
to talk
about it. But I feel like I've talked about Joss Whedon, I've talked about Buffy and how much I love it. And I know a lot of our other listeners also listen. The reason why Joss Whedon has been such a magnet for this was because through all of his TV shows and movies, he's dealt with issues of coming out, feminism,
heard about this.
Adulthood, finding yourself, overcoming heartbreak, death, loss, addiction, you name it. He has this great way through his writing of capturing the tragedy, beauty, hilarity, and just love of life. And that bonds the families that we create even outside of our families. And so for people who are minorities who are kind of always looking for that other sort of home and community, he literally writes shows about marginalized people without writing them into his stories.
You know what? I'm into it. And he always tries to give a little bit of some diversity kick in there too.
Sometimes. And I'm going to circle back to this.
Firefly.
I'm going to circle back to this because it's sort of, And you're right. And Firefly is the one that, like, and that's the thing is that Buffy Joss Whedon will very
diverse.
He'll give you a little nugget here and there, and then it'll make you forget this is still
in Buffy.
Not as much as there really probably really should be. So the reason why Joss Whedon, this whole entire thing, like of Joss Whedon's questioning about him being a feminist ally, blew up because his ex-wife Kai Cole back in August did a piece for The Wrap, essentially just this letter, pretty much calling Joss Whedon a faux feminist.
I think I heard about this.
So what happened was, is Joss Whedon, who's been this like, you know, feminist ally, and this guy touting all this feminism stuff. She was outing him for like all the affairs he was having, like multiple. Like, I think he had like 16 different like affairs with
like
women who were in the industry. She didn't name any names, but some of them could have been some of the actresses that were on. I don't know if like the bigger profile ones or whatnot, but like that's like what's going on. And this is back in August, right? This is before Harvey Weinstein. So I wanted to circle back.
This
to
is this a while
because
yes.
Joss Whedon's a part of this Hollywood bullshit. And I've said this before: the liberal elite does not exist. It's not true, because if it was true, the Harvey Weinstein, there's no way there'd be an industry that would allow for the Harvey Weinstein to exist.
People wouldn't work with him.
It would have been shut down a long time ago, right? You know, what's his face wouldn't have won that award this past year, Casey Affleck, right? And now we gotta see his guy, you know, stupid ass again, handing out the next award to the best actress, you know? Essentially, she says he was essentially used their marriage as sort of a shield to commit adultery, because and then he would also say, like, you know, we'd be like, you know, I come from a family of women, like I'm a feminist, like he kept saying all these things that added up correctly, but like side eye, you know, you got to throw that side eye over there, because what he was doing behind the scenes was not what he was preaching and putting up. So, and through this, like, can we still, I pose this question, maybe we'll answer it in the end. Can we still appreciate and love the Whedonverse, even though all this, you know, bullshit?
Ooh, this has been a question that we've been asking since the very beginning, separating the art from the artist.
So even before we get, my main corner piece that we're going to go to explore some of this Joss Whedon's fuckery, essentially, and why we're side-eyeing Joss Whedon, is from this article by The Telegraph did, right on the heels of this article. But before we get to that, I want to talk about something you were talking about, because a lot of people were talking about like his questioning of his feminism, but the thing that I first kind of always looked at with Joss Whedon was the lack of diversity, right? Specifically, Buffy was the first one, but here's the thing. He misleads you, because in the second season, there's a new Slayer played by Bianca Lawson, who she kind of gives you the Holly Berry of foreign black women accents.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean? But she gives sort of like, I'm a black foreign African type or Caribbean island. I'm a mysterious black woman from a place.
Side note, her father is now married to Beyonce's mother.
What? So Bianca Lawson is connected to the Knowles and the Jay-Z's. Oh, that's nutty.
Yes. I know.
And sidebar, Bianca Lawson had originally auditioned for the role of Cordelia, who ended up being played by Carisma Carpenter.
Right.
And so there were things that were just moving pieces that maybe just not. And it was also the 90s.
He just like drops them in. Okay.
It was just the 90s. And so, and then on Angel, he had Gunn. Mm-hmm. He had this guy Gunn who was joined the show in the second season, who was this black guy, like really dope, like fun, like. And then he had the two characters on Firefly and Serenity. Gina Torres.
So at least, love her forever.
I think the main thing is just like Buffy, like, but Bianca Lawson, spoiler alert, she dies in the second season and a new, you know, white lady Slayer comes, you know? So it was like,
see, it's tokenism, James. He's only doing tokenism. At least within Firefly, he had main characters, but like everything else has been
Angel. No, Angel. I said that Angel had Gunn, who he was a main character for all of the.
Yeah, but just one.
Sure, but there's five actors.
Okay.
And two of them.
Oh, that's not a
and
lot.
Two of them,
okay,
and two of them
good.
Are women. You know, so it's like. But here's the thing is that, like, but at the same time, when you're in the 90s and you're so used to seeing your story told through white vehicles anyways, that like that one or two character here and there is enough to like you know, because I was 1996, I was like 12 or like, you know, 13, not really having
I'm
like,
not saying you
know,
I'm just saying for the view of looking back.
But here's the thing, as we go back to the show, like, but the show still is so good. Like the writing is still good, and the journey that these characters go on are also so great and amazing. That's like the first thing, like side-eyeing Joss Whedon right there, right? So then Telegraph breaks it down into these 5 points of, well, he was fucking up. He's always been fucking up. So why are we so surprised about these affairs? So five times, the article is called 5 times Joss Whedon self-proclaimed woke bae and blew his feminist credentials. And we'll get to what he referred to himself in an article in an interview that he was a woke bae.
He referred to himself? You can't refer to yourself.
That's
like calling yourself humble.
So already there's another point right there. So here we go. So the first point they brought up is the time that he allegedly fired the actress Charisma Carpenter for being pregnant in season 4 of Angel. So essentially what happened was in the season 4 of Angel, which matches up to about season 7 of Buffy, so she's been playing this character for about 7 years. She got pregnant like halfway through when they were filming the season. They had to sort of write her pregnancy. And season 4 goes really, really crazy. Starts to not make sense and kind of falls apart. And she ends up essentially giving birth to Gina Torres as the big bad, leaving Charisma Carpenter into a coma.
Wait, Gina Torres was an angel?
Yes, because at that time, Firefly had been canceled. And so all the three main characters, the three sort of leads of Firefly all went off to Buffy and Angel to play big bads, which was really cool to see them re-come up. Like cool. Nathan Fillion is the big bad in the last season of Buffy in the last like 5
episodes. Interesting. I didn't know that.
And that's what we call it the Whedonverse, because he literally... Because
everybody's involved.
He reuses his actors and stuff. So
gave birth to Gina Torres though, because
she's this demon from this other dimension. And so there was a storyline plot where Cordelia starts to go a little like she disappeared at the end of season 3, came back, and she was something not right about her. And I think originally she was supposed to be the big bad, but then she was pregnant. And then essentially she's gone from the last 5 episodes and then is in a coma and just mysteriously left from the show. And then all these sort of stories started bubbling up amongst the fans and about where her whereabouts were. Fucked up thing is, Charisma Carpenter wasn't ever even told that she wasn't coming back. She had to find out from a reporter who broke the news to her that she wasn't coming back. She didn't know. And
that's some bullshit
Joss said that he's like, well, we felt like we had taken that story as far as we could go. It just seemed like because we're revamping the show that... You know, it's a good time for certain people to move on. Just the one who happened to get pregnant that like...
Right.
And it's weird because other characters would like... Again, she kind of disappeared at the end of the 3rd season and came back all, you know, somewhat fine, right? And like other characters have like died, returned, came back as like other type of like gods and demons. Like it was like...
This is crazy.
Kind of a very purposely sort of thing that happened that just reeks of purposeful spite.
James, I have to point out that this is terrible work behavior.
Well, that's what
like your boss can't just not fire. Like, one, you can't be fired for being pregnant. That's against the law.
Yeah.
Two, you have to notify if somebody, like, if we take it out of the glamour of Hollywood and television and characters, if I were to walk into the library and I find out from a reporter that I lost my job, that's terrible.
Yeah, totally, right? And as someone that, like, they were friends, you know, like, that was like, her and Joss were friends, so it was really that's why it's like so incredibly spiteful. They didn't even like give her the heads up or something, but you could totally tell when you watch that season that there was gonna go in one direction and then she got pregnant and they had to write it in, and he was just bitter and upset from there. And they didn't talk for like years, obviously, and then at DragCon in 2009, Charisma Carpenter, she had commented on it. She was like, you know, I was going through my stuff and then I became pregnant. And I guess in his mind, he had a different way of seeing where the season was going to go. And she talks about, you know, they've been doing the show about 8 years between Buffy and Angel, and she's got to live her own life. And she did say that she'd be willing to work with him again. But I feel like she has to say that.
Because he's a man in charge.
Exactly. And that's like that, like this point alone is enough to just be like, oh my God. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we've all, myself included, were so fooled that Joss Whedon was this feminist. And so I think it's like, as we're moving forward and you're seeing the different stories of people who are touting themselves as like a male ally feminist, it's like, what's
time to side-eye
right?
It
out. Like, because let's see what their actions are also doing. Second point, the time he failed Black Widow.
Okay, let's talk about that.
So, I'm going to give him credit. Joss Whedon gets all the snaps for bringing Black Widow into the first Avengers movie because originally she wasn't even in it. Okay. And he was like, this is a sausage fest. Where's Black Widow? And it was going to actually be, first it was going to be the Wasp, but instead he switched it up and put the Black Widow in there instead. Because she'd already been introduced, so hello, put her in there.
Yeah, I mean, the Wasp needs to be introduced through Ant-Man. Like, anyways, let's not get into it.
Yeah, all right. So, and we were, supposedly in Avengers 2, we were going to get this new, this back storyline to Black Widow and her past. But instead what we got was essentially that, like, she can't have children and she's a monster because the KGB, they, when they were trying to turn her into, you know, the Black Widow, they sterilized her and she literally is crying to Bruce Banner being like, I'm a monster. I can't have children.
See, that's fucked up. I don't like that. It should be her as a super spy. I'm a monster. I can't stop killing people.
Sure.
Like, that's what it should be.
That's why you're a monster, not like, I'm sterile and I can't have babies.
Yeah.
Like Chris Evans isn't like, oh man, like, the woman that I love, she's old now and I can't have sex with her the way that I want to. So, like, he's not really, he didn't really focus that much on her. Like, you know, she's old and she dies and, you know. And,
yeah. That's,
and then he hooks up with her niece.
Gross. But that's a sidebar. Back to back Black Widow. Yeah. That's fucked up. Not to mention she's, like, purely used as, like, a romantic person. Like, why does she have to have romance all the time too?
That's what I wanted to talk about, which is so weird because it's like something that is so, I've seen her in like the cartoon series or even like in the comics, like she's her own person and
she's her own superhero.
But here's the thing, she's actually more like a Catwoman than anything else that they've not really capitalized on. She's a double agent and she's always double crossing, and I'm so upset that they've never really dived into that. She's sometimes she's good and sometimes she's not, because she's a double agent. You never know which side she's actually working with, because she was trained by the KGB. And
be way more fascinating.
They kind of like almost, I keep thinking like in Civil War, there's a moment where I thought they were kind of going to do it. She does double cross Tony at the end of towards the end of Civil War. Spoiler alert. It's been out. Go see it. What are you waiting on? but yeah, like that was the other thing too. It's like, you know, a lot of people were saying, like, can't we just see her being a superhero or being this badass person? We need to hear her bemoaning that she can't be like a mother. And like you said,
that's gross.
She also not only, and this is the thing that really bothered me in Age of Ultron. And again, I was so surprised because I'm like, but Joss Whedon, but maybe I'm not. I shouldn't be as surprised as I really was there. Right. You know, because
maybe that's just who he
is. And I think it has to deal more so with the team of people that he surrounds himself with. Because when you just leave Joss Whedon by himself to his own devices, you get shit like this, where both Scarlet Witch and the Black Widow get saved in the last final moments of Age of Ultron by their potential new male love interest. Like they
see,
and it was like in the same moment, they both get whisked away. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, fuck
that. And sidebar, Scarlett Johansson was pregnant during the filming of that movie too, so I was like, maybe he did that because she was pregnant.
She got fired again.
But because of this backlash from this, this is what prompted Joss Whedon to leave the internet, because fans were so upset with the way that he treated Black Widow there.
Interesting.
Third point, the time that in Firefly he was going to use rape as a plot device to help men learn things.
Gross. Ew. I didn't know
But this is an episode that didn't happen, because Firefly only went 13 episodes, but where they were going to go with it. So
saved by the fucking cancellation.
But it sucks, because Firefly was such a great show, but it was put on Friday nights on Fox. And why would you, on a Friday night, like, what? No one's going to be home to watch that.
I'm not watching TV. Yeah. I mean, now I am.
Right. But, you know, at the time, you were part of the demographic they were trying to encapsulate into this show.
And I was going out.
So we didn't have plans to do an episode that would depict one of the show's female characters. Her name was Inara, played by Marina Bacardin. She's essentially a lady of the night.
Oh, yeah, that lady.
Yeah.
She
was in V.
She plays a lot of ladies of the night. She played a lady of the night in Deadpool.
She did play a lady of the night in Deadpool. I think she's also on Gotham right now. She plays a doctor of the night.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Good. I'm glad she's getting better roles. Well, I mean, these are not to say those roles are bad roles.
Yeah, but you know, someone that it's not, you know, she's like, here's my vagina. But at the same time, she's lady of the night, but she's badass. So she could defend herself and whatnot.
That's cool.
She's really great. And but in one of the episodes, she was gonna have a magic syringe that she takes so that if she's ever raped, the rapist would die a horrible, nasty death. So this band of gnarly space pirates called the Reavers kidnap her. Okay. And by the time Mal, played by Nathan Fillion, and his crew,
yeah.
Also Gina Torres is also in this crew of people. Gina Torres is so badass in Firefly, which I also love. Like,
yeah, I love her.
And
so
like the aesthetic of Firefly is so great of what it's doing, you know? But essentially by the time they go to rescue her, there are 10 dead Reavers surrounding her, and she's crying. So it means, you know,
ew, God, that's terrible.
And later Mal, played by Nathan Fillion, goes to her and gets down on one knee and starts treating her like a lady. Cause he makes throughout a lot of series, pretty much like slut shames her a lot throughout the series. And this is going to be a turning point for him. So this horrific thing had to
happen. After she gets gang raped by 10 people and kills them with her, you know, magic syringe, then he is changed into thinking like, oh, she's a valuable human. No, fuck that, Josh Whedon.
Yeah. And what you said too is like, and like, it becomes about him learning something. It's like, and here's,
yeah, what's her story?
Right. And here's the other thing though too, is that like, because the episode never fully happened, and it was just one of the writers talking about this as a plan of a storyline. So we don't know like what the effect. I would like to hope there would have been storyline about how this affects and changes her character, but sadly this didn't bubble up in the conversation. So.
I'm just glad that it didn't happen.
Right. Well, it did happen in Buffy season 6, where Buffy almost gets raped by Spike in one of the seasons.
Ew.
And Spike is like her on again, off again sort of.
I was going to say, wasn't he a love interest?
He was.
But I mean,
and you were either Team Spike or Team Angel. Look at you knowing things. I love it.
I mean, I pay attention.
You're like, I see. That's like me when I never watched Dawson's Creek, but I watched the commercials, so I always knew what was happening.
Yeah, that's kind of where. Yeah.
I could keep tabs. I was like, okay, that's good.
I could be in this conversation.
So what's so interesting, and I think here's the other thing that's maybe complicated about Joss Whedon, because so essentially Spike tries to like rape Buffy when she's at like this, he misunderstands her signs, right? And he's like really drunk or whatnot.
Okay.
And she's like, and she doesn't want anything to do with him. And he's like not saying, taking her no. And she like literally kicks him across the room and through a wall, right? And then he realizes, look what I just did. And he then has this whole entire redemption storyline to try to become a hero for her because of what he just tried to do. But
once again, him learning a lesson.
Yeah. And it's weird because she like, and we don't really see, like, she forgives him way too soon and early. It's kind of really weird. Mm. We don't really see that journey and how that affected her more.
Right.
She just sees him and anyways. Apparently, Joss Whedon was inspired. He took the story from a real life experience from one of the female writers in the Buffy writers room, who shared that she was once in a situation where she decided that if she forced herself sexually on her ex, he would then change his mind after the breakup. So, but James,
what?
Yeah, but James Masters said, okay, but by you switching the genders on that makes it a completely different thing.
Well, the whole thing is gross.
Right. But I think like the idea
the
was
whole thing is
in Joss's mind, he wasn't writing it as a rape scene. He was writing it as like he was trying to like make her fall back in love with him. Right. But when you switch the genders, it just changes it into a completely different thing.
But I'm also saying that in the writer's room, that's rape too.
What? Oh, yeah. What that woman was talking about was also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole thing is bizarre and gross. If I was in this whole thing was there, I'd be like, I quit.
You're like,
this is all too
weird. I don't
think
this is where we need to go. Okay. Fourth terrible point, his Wonder Woman script. So,
what was that?
Have you not heard about this? So Joss Whedon, for ages in the aughts, Joss Whedon was attached for 2 years. He was working on a Wonder Woman script to produce to be done by the WB. And he worked on it for 2 years and then it got canceled. And I remember this broke my heart. I was livid. Myself and the rest of the Whedonverse, because at this time, again, Joss Whedon is literally like a god at this point, right? Like,
Yeah.
Anybody should be writing at this point, like, you know, he's done the Buffy. Like, if anybody should be writing a Wonder Woman, it's Joss Whedon. He'd be perfect for it, right? And so all of this time has passed, and everybody assumed that it was just like, you know, the old school Hollywood boys. Once again, Joss Whedon not being understood by Hollywood. Like, apparently, no. The script was just really awful. The script has resurfaced.
No.
You can find it online. It is.
What
it
is it?
Awful. It is hella sexist.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It essentially opens up with like it pretty much follows Steve Trevor and follows, like, he's kind of the main.
Oh, great. Oh, so it's not her perspective.
No, it kind of, like, follows more so, like, Steve Trevor on that. Diana's at first only referenced as the girl.
Gross.
In her own goddamn story.
I know. And her name is literally woman. Why do you got to reduce it down to the girl?
She's introduced as the girl. And the movie's pretty much about, like, Steve Trevor's our vehicle through exploring the Amazons and Diana. And she's
You know what this reminds me
what?
Of?
Pornography?
That terrible fucking Stonewall movie. Oh, where it's through the eyes of that one
Danny
Yoko,
white guy.
Yoko. Why'd I say that?
Yoko. But
Yokel.
Yeah, the Yokel guy. Not Yoko. Yoko is good on this sense.
Yoko Ono's great.
She's great, yeah. But this Danny guy.
Kind of. Yeah.
So throughout the script, and you guys can read this online. The script is online. She is generally, she's very reactive. Rather than making heroic decisions, she's usually told what she should be doing in any given
Gross.
Situation. Because, like, she's not used to this new world, right? So she needs Steve Trevor to, like, tell her how to navigate this world outside of the Amazon. Steve Trevor mansplains a lot of things to the Amazons. And, like, the Amazons are kind of looked at as the joke because they don't really understand the 21st century.
See, this is like falling into the trap. There's something, if you Google it, there's a new classification of a type of woman in film that's called the sexy baby.
Yeah.
It's a type where, like, in Splash and also The Fifth Element, mm-hmm. where it's like this boring dude takes under this exotic woman who is, like, new to this world and doesn't understand anything, but is super sexy. So she's, like, super sexualized, but also kind of like a baby. There's a lot of different stereotypes like that. And it sounds like this is kind of what Josh Whedon was trying to put Wonder Woman into.
Yeah, I mean, because he maybe kind of comes from that camp. And I think maybe in his heart of hearts, he thinks he's writing really good stories about women, but he doesn't fully understand women. Because it's still in this mm-hmm. idea through this sort of male gaze idea of what mm-hmm. these women are, right?
Yeah.
So she doesn't really get to make any of her own decisions here. And they definitely end up together in the end. What decisions does she get to make? Well, she does do a seductive dance to distract the bad guys.
Stop it.
And apparently, like, there's some stereotypical black folks in the script as well.
Of course. You always got to throw those
why
in.
Why not? Just to boot. A lot of jokes at Wonder Woman's expense. And the stage directions are really sexist, too. Here's one that says, like, a girlfriend of Diana's, Aitha, more student than athlete and very lovely, hurries gracefully to her side.
Hurries gracefully. They should have just said tits to her right.
And she then whispers into Diana's ear. And then there's another one, a stage direction, or it describes her mother. And then so that she's, yeah. She is very much a queen, noble, beautiful, thoughtful. She is middle-aged, but very much in her prime.
But as in, you would assume middle-aged is not.
Yeah, like, good. Oh, she's old, but she's still cute.
She's hot, but old.
She's hot for her age. So thankfully that movie got canceled. So the last point I want to bring up about Joss Whedon, he does love, and it was connected to what we were just talking about. He loves super strong women, but as long as they're super tiny. He essentially kind of likes, I mean, think about, like, all the women that he will write in these, like, roles and stuff through, like, even in Dollhouse and, like, Buffy.
Yeah. Tiny.
A lot of tiny little white women running around, kicking around.
Stop it, kicking around.
They are. They're always running and kicking at things. And it's like, ooh, they're powerful, tiny little white women. And they're kind of like these adorable type women, right? They're like big eyed, just sort of like, someone quoted as, like, sort of nerd bait, right? So it's sort of like, you know, and Joss Whedon comes from this sort of, like, nerd, you know,
universe.
And so it's sort of like his ideal, like, what he would have liked as, you know, a hot girl, you know?
Interesting.
And so to with this, Joss Whedon, I will give him credit. He did recently talk about how earlier this year, he was definitely, when he talks about diversity, he was very, that he said,
okay.
He admitted that it was a blind spot of his when it came to race. Yeah. And that he just wasn't aware of how things affected people. And he thought that he was doing really great. He thought he was doing really good things with, like, having so many women on his shows and them being very, like, you know, in his mind, the way that he wrote them as, like, badass. And he said that he realized that, you know, he did not make a point of hiring people of color, and he didn't think it through past where it had gotten. And it wasn't necessarily part of his, and he said that he wasn't necessarily part of the solution. So he said that he was okay. maybe like right in the middle. And he mentioned his producer, Marty Noxon, who she's done a lot of great stuff. She's also, I think, produced on Glee. She's very community minded. And he said that she's not as much as a selfish prick as I am. And he says, I didn't have the bandwidth to care about humans. I hope I treated people with respect, but I definitely miss some of the point. I was of that certain era. Of course, now I'm super woke. Such a woke bae.
No. No, you can't say that. Like, one, that, no.
One,
like,
babe
granted, he was...
Babe, doesn't babe mean before anyone... Wait, before...
No, bae is like a babe. Like, you're... Oh, before everyone else.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Before everyone else. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I it's actually not, it's like an acronym or whatever. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
weird what he said.
Yeah, because you can't, that's what you call somebody. You can't call yourself that because it's one, it's ridiculous. But you know what? He was going in the right direction and then he called himself a woke babe, which is like, I'm hoping he was saying that tongue in cheek,
yeah.
Which also makes his apology kind of fall flat.
Right.
I am hoping, this is like the whole reason that I love Side Eye Your Heroes, is like, one, you always have to investigate everything and you can't take anything for face value.
Yep.
And two, it also isn't like, I don't know. If somebody disappoints you, you can always give them credit if they come back and redeem themselves.
Sure.
And that's what I'm hoping for him.
Will happen.
Because he's so outspoken. But
he's had so many fucking affairs that I think like he does not care about women the way that he thinks he does. He had power. And he fucking held it over and he mistreated his wife. His wife, who, like many women in the industry, was his right-hand person, who she was the one that said, your idea of what you want to do for Buffy, the movie failed because the production company, I think Fox, got way too involved in it and gutted his movie the way that he wanted to do it. She said, do it on TV. She was the one that helped push it. And like,
champion.
Had he not done Buffy on TV, he'd not have a career. Like, it was his wife.
True.
And there's so many women who are these right hand to these men who are able to get access to power and to things that they don't have, right? And just his treatment of her, like, he... And so with this, two things. I would say you can still enjoy everything in the Whedonverse, even though Joss Whedon has a really, really shitty personal life. Because... he did not single-handedly create all these things that we do love. He had a great team of people. Sarah Michelle Gellar breathed so much light into the role of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy made it what it was. All those, he doesn't get to take away all those different actors' performances, you know, all those things.
It's true.
You know, like, and the effect that Buffy had on so many people in a lot of his shows, like, don't let Joss Whedon also take that away from you. Like, he is a fucker. He is not a feminist. He needs to go recorrect his own life and figure out some shit and, like, apologize to a lot of women and re-figure out what it means to be a feminist ally, not a feminist. I also think that men, I don't think we can call ourselves feminists. I think we can call ourselves feminist allies, because it would be, you know, like, I don't want to co-opt that for the movement. Does that make sense? Like, being an ally to it?
Yeah, it does. I don't, at this point, I would have to think about it. I don't want to make any of my own proclamations on air before I really kind of think about it. At this point, I feel like if you call yourself a feminist and you do the work, maybe, I don't know.
Given everything that's going on with, like, Harvey Weinstein and the light of the sexism that is so rampant. I mean, Joss Whedon was essentially a part of this, and the way that he was, some of these women that he was having affairs with were people that he was working with who were on these movie sets.
Which is a power dynamic.
And he had the power. Yeah,
yeah.
The power. The fact that Chris Carpenter still has to say, like, oh, I'd work with him again, even though he fucking, like, fired her from a job because she had a baby, you know?
That's ridiculous.
And these are just,
it's
like
ridiculous.
These are just some of the stories. And, like, I think, you know, a lot of the things that you're looking over of just, this is who he really was. But I think it's good to just call attention to who these folks are. And also, like, men, you're on watch. And ladies, watch these men's, and men's, I'm watching you too. But, like, not in a sexy way. But I might, if you're being all sexy, I'll watch you. But I'm watching you in a sexy way, but also you're on notice and on watch.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
that's all I got.
It's good that we talk about this. I completely agree with you with, like, this. I'm so glad all of this stuff is now coming to light, and hopefully we can change course and go other directions in Hollywood, because this is clearly prevalent.
Yep. Joss Whedon, side-eyeing you, Buffyverse, live strong. I'm trying to figure out, like, there's just be some Buffy quote. You too are the chosen. I don't know. Keep living your best life watching as much Joss Whedon shit as you want.
There you go.
It's the end of the episode as we know it.
101. It is done.
I hope y'all got your 101 on, and welcome to the new listeners.
Yes,
and
thank
the
you.
Ones who've been here. So as we are wrapping up here, we had a contest for leading up to the 100th episode that if we hit 100 reviews, we would draw one of these folks who wrote a review and we'd send them a prize.
100 to one, at 100.
At 100, yeah. But we did not make it to 100 at our 100th episode. No. But we're still going.
Yes.
You know what? Once we hit 100, we will then draw from the 100 folks who wrote a review. And one of y'all is still going to get a prize. So just keep going on iTunes and writing those reviews. It really helps.
Look at us being generous.
Right? Like, we didn't have to. We just want a little pat on the back
just
there.
Just pushing forward.
This one is a really fun one. Mm-hmm. This one is, they said 5 stars, fantastic show from Wackadoo.
No.
They said, melanin popping.
Yeah.
I learn every episode and have fun doing it. So thank you.
Thank you. I love it. I got a tweet of the week.
Tweet, tweet.
I, as if you follow us on Twitter, we're at Minority Corner with a K. We recently celebrated our 100th episode. A lot of people liked our, tweets. A lot of people, said happy 100th episode.
Thank you.
Thank you. Including Maximum Fun. Thank you, Maximum Fun.
And thanks, Max Fun.
Replying to the happy 100th episode to us by Maximum Fun is Patrick, Cartelli. At Pat, yeah. Pat Cartelli, and he is the host of what were you on?
Repeaters. I'm going to be on their show coming up soon, and we talk about, surprise, Janet Jackson.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
So he tweeted, congrats to on 100 episodes to Miss Fitzy, which is me, and James Arthur M., which is you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, and we've made it over the hump.
We
and
did.
Now
it.
Just get back to work. It's business as usual.
Time to grind.
It's like our birthday has come and gone, and we're just, you know.
It's like that day after the New Year's Eve party where it's just like, oh, I got to go back to work.
Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. A little bit wiser, having learned more. But yeah. Okay. Back to work. Here we go.
I'm ready. All right, I feel refreshed. I'm excited. And we are ready to get more listeners and continue this journey.
And we got a lot of great things on the books that you and I have planned. We got some shit. We got some things, y'all.
Yeah,
we got
did.
Things happening.
Yes,
so
we did.
Get ready. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we love you.
We love you. Spread the word. Keep reviewing. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. James is on Instagram.
All those things. Come and find
ooh.
Us. Oops, my shirt fell off.
And it is falling off.
See you next week.
Bye.
With less clothes.
Hi, I'm comedian Emily Heller.
And I'm cartoonist Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
Do you want to learn weird new facts?
Do you like hearing successful, creative women talk about their poop?
Do you want the scoop on Martha Stewart's pony?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, our show is for you.
We interview people like Paul F. Tompkins,
Kristen Shaw,
Michael Che,
and more. So check us out on Maximum Fun.
And let us mess up your brain.
Yes, please.
Baby Geniuses, we know everything. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, I'm Carrie Poppy.
And I'm Ross Blotcher, hosts of MaximumFun.org's Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
We wanted to tell you the good news that our podcast is now weekly.
Yeah, weekly. On Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims. We investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and report our findings to you.
In a time where alternative facts reign supreme, we cut through the murky spin to give you the real deal on topics like UFOs, the anti-vaccination movement, Scientology, and even apocalyptic churches.
We're even undercover for some very exciting investigations right now.
Well, not right now, right now.
Yeah, that would be unwise.
That's Oh No, Ross and Carrie at MaximumFun.org.
We show up so you don't have to.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.